What's up, nerds? This is Deej Penalo here from the Nerdtalkalypse Podcast Network, and I'm here to talk to you guys about Patreon. Patreon.com/Nerdtalkalypse Podcast Network. If you become a patron, you pay as little as $1 per month, recurring. That is $12 per year billed monthly. That is less than pennies a day and hardly noticeable when it comes out. That is less than you pay for a coffee or a Coke. Now listen, when you do this, you gain access to an exclusive patron-only RSS feed. You can add that RSS feed to your favorite podcast player. That will be the home of the Nerdtalkalypse Podcast bonus shows provided by individual hosts within our network. That being Robert and Colton from Bridging the Geekdoms, me, or Lane from Nerdtalkalypse. That is a really dope deal, guys. We're working really hard to provide you guys more content from within the network. And this will include other Patreon-exclusive shows. Head over to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Nerdtalkalypse. We have a group for the Nerdtalkalypse Podcast Network. You can join Bridging the Geekdoms, all that good stuff. Got a lot of stuff coming. So if you could consider maybe heading over to patreon.com/Nerdtalkalypse Podcast Network and just putting a dollar on the line every month, that would be extremely helpful.
Hello, sir. What can I do for you?
Howdy there, partner. I'm in the market for one of them new internet radio show t-shirts I hear so much about on them applications.
T-shirt, you say?
Yeah. One that'll catch the eye of my lovely lady friend.
You know what? I think I may have something right up your alley.
Oh, do tell.
You see, we have this awesome Hanes tagless tee with the slick logo of Nerdtalkalypse Podcast Network on the front, with all the awesome shows listed on the back. Nerdtalkalypse Podcast, Fandom Vibe, and even Bridging the Geekdoms.
Well, I'll be a horse's patoot.
That's right. And you can get that all for the low cost of $17.99 at teespring.com, as well as coffee mugs, stickers, tank tops, and hoodies.
I'm going to have to get me one of them stickers for the back of my pick-em-up truck.
That's excellent, man. Just log in to teespring.com/shop/Nerdtalkalypse Network and order yours today.
Yeehaw! But wait, why did I walk into a store if you're going to send me to a website?
Everyone.
Welcome in to the Fandom Vibe, presented by Nerdtalkalypse Podcast. This is your number one source for news from trending pop culture and fandoms alike. What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Fandom Vibe. And we are going to be discussing San Diego Comic-Con and all the great things that came out of that. And I'm back with my good buddy John.
Yeah, what's up? I don't know why I said I never talk like that. Why did I say yeah? What's up?
Hey, whatever, man.
That's not me.
So
I mean, hello, fellow nerds. I am here to talk to you again today.
So I had some compliments based off our last episode together. So I was, you know, I'm happy to bring you back on again, and hopefully,
yeah, it's man, anytime.
More of a, you know, we could do it more often. But John here was actually at San Diego Comic Con, so he's the best guest to have on the show for this. So this,
I don't know if I'll be
really cool.
The best one, but I'm a decent one.
That's, well, I think you're...
Decent guest to have on. I mean, you know. I'm just fucking with you. No, yeah, I was at Comic-Con. I've been going to Comic-Con for, God, my first Comic-Con was back, or San Diego, this was back in 2002. And I went last year, and I went again this year to do stuff for my podcast show. And while I was there, I was sending Deej a bunch of freaking notes and pictures and shit from the retailer event that I got to go to, because not only do we have passes for Comic-Con, we get retailer passes, so we get to go to the Diamond retailer launch, tell them about all the new comics that are coming out, and do a bunch of cool stuff like that, like go out and have drinks with Robert Kirkman and do the Skybound thing. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, man. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, so I've aptly titled these in the notes, John's Inside Scoop, because you were sending these to me and telling me not to post them, so... That's pretty cool.
Right. They can be posted now. Now it's fine. But when I was sitting into you literally as they were talking in the meeting. So you were getting it like live as if you were sitting there.
Right. That's awesome. And I couldn't. I was so sick that I could barely see. Like, I couldn't really read them or
do much anyway, so.
Yeah, well, I don't think that there was a, like, I don't think I was supposed to be sending those pictures, but whatever, fuck it, it's over with.
Right.
So I figured for this first part, my inside scoop, I'll just kind of go through some of the pictures that I have, and you can feel free to post these if you want to or not or whatever. People can just listen to it. And I'm not going to go through every single thing that I saw there because it was a 2.5 hour long meeting. And if we did that and we talked about everything, we'd be here for 8 hours, man.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
So, yeah, I would kind of touch on each public. This is super nerdy. This is the comic side of stuff. And we'll kind of touch on some of the comic stuff and, you know, just stop me whenever you want to stop me and have me come in. But the first publisher to present at the retailer event was DC Comics, which is interesting because last year DC was the last publisher to present. So it's kind of funny how it switched around. I think Marvel and DC kind of switch every year because Marvel was one of the first ones last year, and this year Marvel was one of the last ones. So it kind of did that. But DC is doing another big crisis event, which honestly, I'm over crisis events in comics. I don't read them anymore, but...
So, wait, what is whatever. This crisis event? Do you have any idea?
So, this one's called Heroes in Crisis, and it deals with... it's another crisis, another event. Basically, the crisis events are the big crossovers within DC Comics. They've been doing them since 87 or 86, when they did Crisis on Infinite Earths. It's like how they determine... It's how, what they call their big crossovers. Like, there was Identity Crisis, Forever Crisis, or whatever, some shit like that. And this new one is Heroes in Crisis, and it's this big crossover event with Booster Gold and Harley Quinn and all the main DC superheroes on the covers and stuff. And it's kind of it's like a mini series that has tentacles out into the main some of the main storylines. It should be it looks kind of interesting, but I probably won't read it personally.
So what is it? Is it Dr. Manhattan?
No, well, they're bringing in elements of the Watchmen for this, but they didn't really reveal too much of what the storyline was at the event. They just kind of released the covers and released some a couple of shots of the inside artwork for it, and kind of said it was going to be on sale in September.
Well, see, the only reason I asked that is because I was talking to somebody at work last night about like Doomsday Clock. I was like, does anybody know where Doomsday Clock is at and what the fucking deal with Dr. Manhattan is and all that shit? And they're like, well, aren't they doing another crisis? And I'm like, oh shit, I guess that totally makes sense. Maybe that's what
this is. Yeah.
So all the events of Doomsday Clock are leading up to the Heroes in Crisis.
Pretty much, I believe. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it should be interesting. I mean, so like I said, like oddly enough, you were just on one of our episodes for Spoiler Country. I talked about this there. I don't read these big events as they come out. I read them after they're all done, so I can kind of read them all at once without having to wait week to week, because I don't like doing that. I like to binge. So I'll probably read this after it goes to trade next year sometime, so I'll know more about it then.
Right.
But one thing that DC did announce that I am pretty excited for, because I think this is a super cool idea, is DC is finally getting behind 24-Hour Comic Day, which is it's October 3rd, I believe, or it's like the first Saturday in October or something like that. Wait, 24-Hour Comic Day? Yeah, it's October. But so DC's finally getting behind 24-Hour Comic Day, which is an event that I've done for a couple years in a row. It's where you try and do a full-on 24-page comic in 24 hours, uh-huh. Right? It's a crazy event. I've managed to do it only because I kind of cheat, because I use my Jolene Only comic series, which if anybody knows what that is, it's like I have these Photoshopped characters. I just move around static backgrounds and like make jokes about it with them. So I've done that a couple years in a row. And I'll probably do it again this year because it's just a lot of fun. But DC's getting behind 24-Hour Comic Day, and they're actually releasing three separate blank comic books with like the trade dress on the front of it. Like these Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman with the full-on DC Universe trade dress, number one. The logos on them, they say like Batman blank, Superman blank, and have the 24-Hour Comic Day logo on the bottom. And the books themselves inside are actually a blank, and the whole thing's printed on 80-pound paper, which is good for drawing on. So they're actually printing out full trade dressed blank comic books for you to draw your 24-Hour Comic Day into.
That's pretty interesting.
It is, because it means what they joked about is you can write, like, you know, Superman versus then whatever character you have, or Superman and the whatever characters you're making in your comic for the day, and kind of like incorporate that into your story, or just do whatever you want to do. It's kind of cool because it allows you to have, when you're done with it, you know, you have this book you've done, and it's your hand drawn comic for the day, which is kind of cool.
That is
it's kind of
cool.
A cool way to get you know, people who are interested into it and kids into it. Like, I'm sure I'll buy the Wonder Woman for my daughters and they'll draw a comic in it this year because they're all excited for that. So
I used to get Walking Dead. I don't have a local comic book store, so I would get Walking Dead comics book sent to me. right. over like a pull service online, and they used they've sent me blank covers before.
Nice.
With like nice. That 80 pound paper that you were talking about.
Yeah, I have lots of blank covers. I draw on them and sell them. At art, when I do tables at comics for my art, I'll draw on the blank covers and sell them. Like, something like a Deadpool's easy to sell, but like Deadpool and like draw Harley Quinn or Superman on a cover, and you can sell for like, you know, $40-$50, which is nice. Yeah,
that's pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah. So that was actually kind of what the cool thing DC was talking about was the blank covers. They also talked about they're starting to get into young reader stuff again, trying to focus on pushing the future of comics with like the DC Zoom and the DC Ink series with like young readers and then like teenage readers. So they're giving like they're making certain storylines or certain comic books focused or pointed at younger readers and then, you know, teenage readers to get them into reading comic books when they're older, can start them young and bring them up, you know, into comics.
That's cool.
Which is cool. So we'll see how well that works. I mean, DC's done it before with like the DC Johnny series or DC Young Guns, stuff like that. So we'll see how it goes. I'm always for anything that can get people into reading comics earlier, because if you don't read them, if kids don't start reading comic books, there won't be any reading comic books in the future.
That's true. Very true. Yeah, I mean, I did look through some of this stuff, man. There's one thing in particular that I'm excited for, but that's not in DC. That's in Dark Horse.
Cool. When we get there, make sure you tell me what
that
is. One of the big things DC talked about, and a lot of people are excited for DC Comics, is the DC Comics Black Label, which is going to be large formatted, darker tales. Like, that's the best way to put it. The books themselves are larger format. They're bigger format, so they're not going to fit like your standard comic book sleeve and stuff. They're going to be like a bigger book. And they're going to be like, the first one they released was Batman the Damned by Brian Azzarello, who anybody knows who Brian Azzarello is. He did a bunch of really kick-ass Batman stories like 10 years ago. So it's cool to have him come back and work on that. And they showed some of the artwork for it. And if you can post it, Deej, you should definitely post it, because the artwork looks phenomenal. It's painted, they're painted pages, but they're, I don't know, they're realistic. The color tones on them are amazing. They just, everything about them looks good, and they're all large format, so you'll be able to actually dig in and look at this artwork and see like the details of the city line and details of everything in it. And in this book is Batman and John Constantine.
Oh, interesting.
That's a cool ass fucking combination of characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then the second title they're releasing on Black Label is Superman Year One. And me being a huge Superman fan, you would think I'd be excited for this, but I actually don't like the writer or the artist on this series. Like, I'm not a fan of Frank Miller, and I'm not a fan of John Romita Jr. So I'm looking at this story with a grain of salt. Like, okay, maybe I'll read it, because Frank Miller has been open about his hatred of Superman or his dislike of Superman over the years. So I'm curious of why they're giving him a Superman book, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty strange.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably still read it because it's Superman down the road, but I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to like it, because I don't like Frank Miller's take on Superman from other stories he's done. But, well, I mean, I'll give it a chance, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the last one in DC Black Label is Wonder Woman Historia, which you can't have. I mean, you can't do Batman and Superman without doing a Wonder Woman book. That's the trinity of DC right there. And this one's by the amazing Kelly Sue Dominick, or DeConnick, and then drawn by Phil Jimenez, who is an amazing artist. It should be fun. They didn't really have much to tell on that one besides it being a story about the Amazons with Wonder Woman there. So it's going to be more Amazon-based or Amazonian-based than her outside of the Amazons, which should be kind of cool. And it's going to be a darker, more gritty tale, because that's what DC does nowadays.
Right.
This one I thought was cool, because I grew up in my... Not grew up, but in my college years, I read a lot of Neil Gaiman, because I was that moody, you know... I wasn't a goth kid, but I was a wannabe goth kid. I didn't wear all black, but I just read a lot of Sandman. A lot of Neil Gaiman stuff. And so Neil Gaiman's actually coming back to Sandman finally after all these years, and he's doing the Sandman universe, where they're basically making an entire universe out of the Sandman characters with him writing some of the stories and the other writers and artists coming in and telling other stories in that same world, all inside the Sandman universe under DC Vertigo, which is really cool. So they've got a whole plethora of series like The Dreaming, The House of Whispers, Books of Magic is coming back, Lucifer's coming into the Sandman universe. So that's gonna be pretty cool. And again, I will probably pick up a couple of these when they come out, but I'll probably wait until they go to trade to read the whole thing, because that's 1, 2, 3, 4. It's 5 series is coming out that I probably don't want to have to keep up with at the same time. But it's pretty cool looking, and they're bringing Lucifer back. Which Lucifer's, if you watch Lucifer on Fox, he's based off of this the Sandman new Gaiman Lucifer character.
I have not watched Lucifer, but I've heard it's amazing, so I don't...
Yeah, I've heard, Yeah, it's really good. I mean, they got Tom Welling on there now, and I'm a big Tom Welling fan from his Smallville days. So, I mean, I like Smallville. I don't care what anybody says. It was a fun show.
Interestingly
right?
enough, without having to get in too much of a tangent, somebody just recommended to me a podcast. I'm going to recommend it to you.
I was fucking just going to tell you to listen to it. Are you talking about Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum?
Yes.
Dude, the first episode with Tom Welling is so great.
Is it? I have yet to listen to it, but I mean, like I listened to like a part of it and I was like, oh yeah, this is great. I'm going to get back into listening to it. But yeah, somebody just recommended it to me and it seems interesting.
I listened to it yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Yesterday. Yeah. The Tom Welling episode is so good. It talks about like, they're blunt. They're pretty frank on how they felt about filming it and their feelings about the show and cons and fans. You know, they're not negative and they're very positive. Both of them are very positive, but they're, like, Tom Welling talks about how for a long time he just didn't want to deal with it. Because he's like, I didn't play Superman. I played Clark Kent because he didn't want to be a superhero character. Because when he started the show, superhero movies and shows were all pretty much trash. You know? And it's pretty raunchy. And, you know, Mike Rosenbaum's a funny guy. And he says a lot of off-color jokes in it. And it made me laugh a lot. So
well, that's awesome. Well, there's a recommend for you all.
Perfect. And then the DC portion ended out with them going over some more Vertigo titles. They're trying to bring Vertigo back because Vertigo kind of fell off the radar for a little bit. But Vertigo is basically DC's mature line, which is, they have some fun stuff in there. So that's where DC ended up with. It was DC's whole presentation was very like by the book, not very exciting. You know, here's the details kind of thing. You know, so it's kind of good information, but it was kind of boring.
Right. Very. Now, does this have anything to do with like the? I guess they weren't in the pictures or anything, but there's like I saw that they were doing a the three Jokers, and then they're doing.
Yeah, they didn't talk about that at all in the retail report. They were mostly talking about stuff coming out September forward.
Okay.
But the three Jokers thing is interesting, and I'm kind of wondering if they're doing the three Jokers in the movies now, because they've got the Joaquin Phoenix Joker and they've got the Jared Leto Joker, and I wonder if they're gonna like. Do the three Jokers within the DCEU at some point, because they're kind of setting that up.
That would be really interesting. I'm still waiting for the movies to catch up with Rebirth. I'm a little tired of all the movies being the New 52 iterations.
Yeah, it'll get there. I mean, once they do Flashpoint, it'll get there.
Are they doing Flashpoint again? Oh no, I'm talking about the animated movieverse.
Oh. Yeah. Well, they just released Death of Superman, and then they're just released the trailers for Reign of Superman, which, you know, is like the, you know, Superman dying and then Superman coming back and from the comics. And they're doing it in the New 52 animated version, but they'll probably catch up to Rebirth or reboot the animated universe here probably in a movie or two. But I'm excited to see those two movies because they look
well,
really good.
Well, they're going to do Hush,
but I
agree, too.
Yeah, I have a feeling Hush is going to be in its own little thing. I don't think Hush is going to be in the the animated universe.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So up next at the retail event was Titan Comics. And, dude, Titan Comics, I love them. They are so great. They are, last year and this year, they were the most exciting retailers or, sorry, publishers to listen to because they're just so damn funny.
This is something I'm not familiar with at all. I don't know any of these titles except for Doctor Who, but I'm not a Doctor Who guy, so.
Right. Well, they're a publisher out of London, right? So they have the one guy up there who is Andrew Sumner, who's the EVP of Titan Entertainment, who's an awesome dude who I've actually became friends with a little bit now. He is, he's got a thick Liverpool accent, and he's funny as shit. So they just have fun with it, right? They're the most excited ones. They talk about the books. They tell some off-color jokes. And I mean, it's just funny. So they've got a bunch of Doctor Who stuff coming out for the 13th Doctor, the new female Doctor, which looks pretty cool. If you're a Doctor Who fan, there's a ton of Doctor Who stuff coming out. They've got Doctor Who Day on November 24th. That was the fresh announcement as of that meeting, which, funny side story, is we might be partnering with them for that, which is hush-hush, but still, I'll tell you here. They actually have the rights to Tank Girl, which is cool. If you've never read Tank Girl, read some Tank Girl. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've heard of Tank Girl.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. They're finally doing an ongoing series for Tank Girl. They're doing a Tank Girl Day to celebrate 30 years of Tank Girl in October, on October 20th. She's a fun character. I loved her movie. I love her character. She's actually created and originally drawn by the guy who created the Gorillaz, the band.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same guy who did Hootie Tank Girl.
Interesting.
Yeah, not just the guy who did the artwork for the Gorillaz, but the guy who started the band of the Gorillaz with the guy from Blur.
That's crazy.
So with Damien from Blur. Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
So Titan also does Robotech. They have a bunch of licensing agreements. You know, like they do Life is Strange, which is a game that turned into comics. They do Maxell and Collins series. They do a bunch of hard crime series, which look pretty cool. There's a bunch of like the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. They do that series, and they're bringing a new comic book series in that universe, told all new stories in that universe. You know, which is pretty cool. They have a bunch of hard crime, like I've said there. If you like hard crime stories, I think Titan's the only publisher putting out like quality shit like that.
Right.
And then they've got, let's see, a ton of stuff. I'm trying to fast forward to some good stuff here. Oh, they're bringing back Michael Moorcock's Elric. So if you ever read Elric in the olden days, it's high fantasy. Titan's bringing it back with new stories by Michael Moorcock and other people and stuff like that, which should be cool. Let's see what else here. They do toys and stuff too, so they're doing like the limited edition Yellow Submarine comic book and toy set, which is the Beatles. If you like the Beatles, they're doing a Blade Runner 2049 comic, which should be kind of cool. Here's what I'm excited about for them is they actually partnered with DC Comics to do a novelization of The Killing Joke and Mad Love.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now. It's really interesting.
Yeah, and one, those covers there look freaking phenomenal. And two, those, like, I'm not a fan of The Killing Joke, but Harley Quinn Mad Love is such a good story that I cannot wait to read that novelization.
Yeah, I'm unfamiliar with the story, but I know it's very popular. However, I'm excited here about... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I would say, if you have any interest in Harley Quinn at all, about her origins, about how she comes in with the Joker, and how that relationship is supposed to actually be, Mad Love is a story you want to read.
I've heard that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm interested in the tie-in here for the Spider-Man game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I think it's so cool because, like, Titan has... They're publishing books from both Marvel and DC under the Titan Comics because they get licenses, like, for tie-ins for other stuff. It's really cool how they do that.
Yeah, it's really... I've never been more excited for a video game than I am for that Spider-Man game, so I'm really excited about that. I want to check that out.
Is that the PS4 game? Is that out already? Or did that come out?
It comes out, no, in September.
Dude, I kind of want to buy a PS4 just for that game.
Oh my god, man. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it does. I've been watching the trailers for that for like a year now, going, dude, I want a PS4 just for this. I just want a web swing. I just want a web swing.
I know,
man.
Right?
And they're also doing, they do art books. So they're doing art books for Firefly. Everybody loves Firefly. They're doing Preacher, Predator, Alien, a bunch of really cool stuff. If you have money to spend on fancy art books, they've got some really cool ones.
That's really neat.
Yep. And then they've got a bunch of, they do these Titan hero things, which like they're kind of like pop figures, but not as big and cheaper and kind of cool. And you can like blind boxes thing. You know, they have ones for American Gods and Aliens and Cartoon Network and all that, Beatles and Doctor Who and stuff, which are pretty cool. And that's Titan Comics. I mean, they're a cool company. They ended on a tribute to Steve Ditko, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's
nice. Yeah, yeah. So if you haven't heard of Titan Comics, check them out because they're one of my favorites right now.
All right, so looks like we're about to move into Dark Horse.
Yes.
So right off the bat, now, like I said, I was really sick when you sent me these. And so I was just looking through them tonight.
Yeah.
And right off the bat, the first thing here is it looks like Stranger Things, which I fucking love, is going to get comics.
They're doing a comic.
Now, are they doing like it from season one? Like, are they just telling the same story in comic book form?
Nope, they are not. They are telling the stories they're telling are the stories of Will in the Upside Down.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. So they're not. There's going to be stuff in the issues about season one, but it's going to be mostly on the stuff you didn't see in season one.
That is so fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah, super. I actually have it from the retailer event. They give you a bag of exclusive comics you can only get at the retailer event, right?
Yeah.
And in that was the first issue of Stranger Things, and I can't wait to read it.
Oh, man, you got to tell me how it is once you read it.
Oh, I will.
I fell in love with Stranger Things so hard. It's
dude, I didn't watch it until season two came out, and like My wife watched season one. She binged it the whole thing in one day. And I was like, you should watch it. She's like, oh, I'll watch it later. And I never watched it. And then season two came out and she started watching season two. And I watched one episode of season two. And I was like, hold on. Let me go watch this real quick. And I went to my office while I was working on some, I was doing some artwork for a comic. And I put it on and I binged the entire first season and then caught up to where she was in season two, which was like episode five, in like 2 days, and then finished out season two with her.
I bet you were so happy you did too, because it's so good.
Dude, it was so good. It's so good.
It's amazing. This is the kind of show that's, it's two genres that I'm not particularly huge, like a huge fan of. Like, not that I don't like sci-fi or anything like that, but like, if I would have known what, if somebody would have told me what this show was about, I would have not watched it, probably just because it's not my cup of tea. But apparently, it's done so well. Because I loved it.
Right.
But I going into this, I had no idea what it was about, and I just was like, let's see what all the hubbub is about, because people couldn't stop talking about this damn thing. And I watched it and totally fucking fell in love with it so fast. and I'm so excited that this is what they're doing, and that's great.
Yeah. I'm pissed that we have to wait another year for season three, but it's okay. It's okay. There's comics coming out to help me over, so it'll be fine.
Right. So I don't know what the second one here is, like at all. It looks like, is it Zelda?
The second one, no, hold on, back up. There's Mystery Science Theater 3000 on here.
Oh shit, I must have them in a different order than you.
Yeah, that's fine. There is a Zelda book coming out from Dark Horse, but I believe. But Mystery Science Theater 3000, have you ever watched that? It's like where they riff on movies, like shitty movies.
I'm familiar with it, but I've never actually watched it.
Okay, they're doing a comic book series written by Joel Hodgson and the MST3K production team, which is the team that makes the movies and the TV shows. It's basically where they sit and they watch like public domain movies and like riff on them. Like riff tracks is the same thing, right? It's the same people.
Yeah.
So the comic book, what they're doing is they're taking public domain comics and the characters are going in and out of the comic books, riffing on the public domain comics.
Oh, that is genius.
Yeah. I'm like, why didn't I think of that? It's such a good idea.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and then they have Umbrella Academy. If you've read Umbrella Academy.
Oh, my God, man. Yeah.
It's getting a Netflix series.
Oh, my God.
And there's new stories coming out, so that's good.
Oh, my God, man. I absolutely adore the Umbrella Academy.
Oh, good, good. I haven't read it yet, but I've heard nothing but good things about it.
One of my most favorite series ever.
Nice.
And I don't know what exactly it is. It was like one of the first comic books I ever read.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I have not. In the gift bag they gave us, there's a copy of the first issue of the new series, so I should probably read that and see if I like it or not, because I haven't read it yet.
Oh, man, so good. It's very, very interesting.
So they talked about...
In the live-action series that's coming, dude, fuck yeah.
Yeah, they talked about that, and it looks. They didn't show us anything, but they talked about how cool it is, how it's coming along. So,
and is Gerard Way involved?
Yeah, he's involved. I think he's an executive producer on the show.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then they talked about Hellboy, obviously, because there's a movie coming out, and they showed the picture of that we've all seen already. But they announced that they're doing a couple of new series of Hellboy. They're releasing new omnibus collections that collect all the stories in chronological order. So if you want to read all about Hellboy, you can go buy an omnibus and read the stories in the order that tells like the life of Hellboy, which is pretty cool. And then they're reprinting in October the story of the Wild Hunt, which is what the new movie is based on. So people can read that too.
Interesting. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's. I mean, I like Hellboy. I love the movies. I love the comic book. So it's cool. I'm excited for the new movie. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
But yep. And they talked about, this one's cool. Anthony Bardot, who is no longer here, he has a book coming out called Hungry Ghost, which it features like horror tales based upon food. And then it has recipes by him in it about based around these like stories and this food that kills people, essentially. That's kind of cool.
Interesting. That's a little strange.
It's called Hungry Ghost and stuff. Now, did you ever watch Aliens as a kid?
You know, that's on my nerd year's resolutions.
Oh, shit. Okay. So Alien 1 and Aliens are amazing. Hold on. Sorry. Alien 3 is garbage. Okay. So there's a long thing that Aliens 3 was reshot by the studio and totally fucked up. So finally, after all these years, Dark Horse is publishing a comic book that is based on William Gibson's original screenplay before the studio took it and messed it up.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So fans of the series who've been waiting for this, the William Gibson cut, will finally get the William Gibson cut in comic book form.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then they talked about Venture Brothers. I don't know if you ever watched Venture Brothers, but they're releasing an art book that has the first six seasons in it and plus some stuff for season seven of Venture Brothers. And then Dark Horse has the Nintendo license to publish art books. So they're releasing a bunch of encyclopedias and Mario art books and collector's editions. And they're doing, they've done a couple of Zelda art books and like companion books. And they announced they're doing one for the Switch game, Breath of the Wild, which looks pretty cool. And that's probably what you saw and you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing a regular edition and then a Heroes edition, which has like a glass orb, a cloth map, a bunch of extra stuff with it, whereas the regular edition is just the book by itself.
Very interesting.
Yeah, yeah, Dark Horse was cool. They're always fun. I've often wondered why Dark Horse isn't a bigger company, because they publish so much cool shit, but whatever. up next was Valiant, and I don't... this sounds bad, but I don't really care for Valiant, so I don't really pay... I mean, I took pictures of everything, but I don't really pay attention, because I don't really give a shit. But for those who like Valiant, which is fine, they're doing a new Faith. Faith is the plus-size superhero, which I think is a cool concept, but I kind of think Valiant use it as a gimmick, you know, to say we have a plus-size superhero, but whatever. She's getting an ongoing series. They're doing a bunch of crossover events like they always do. They talked about the Vin Diesel Bloodshot movie, which they're making, which I don't know. They sent us a copy of the script, an SCCC example of the script, or a script book edition of like the first issue done with like as a movie. And they talked about all these big like crossover events they're doing and stuff like that. And I don't know, that looks cool, but I don't know. I never really cared for Valiant too much, so it wasn't for me.
Yeah, I don't even know if you like them.
They were a bit, they were in the 90s. They were part of the reason why the market crashed in the 90s. I mean, they weren't the only reason, they were part of it. Like, they were printing, overprinting books, doing a bunch of number one issues, just like Marvel was, just like DC was. Variant covers here, variant cover there, special foil edition here, whatever. They're probably right now, they're one of the worst with variant covers. Like, so I don't know if you know how variant covers work for stores, but like, there's a regular cover, there's usually a open buy cover, which is like an extra cover you can buy for the same book that has no limitations on it. Then there's the 1 in 10, 1 in 25, 1 in 50, 1 in 100, 1 in 250. Sometimes there's a 1 in 1,000 cover variant. What that means is the comic book store has to buy 10 copies of the regular cover to be able to buy one copy of the 1 in 10. So if there's a 1 in 1,000 variant, that means that store has to buy 1,000 copies of that version of that blank, the regular cover, to buy one of that extra variant cover.
Damn.
So it's an incentive for comic book stores to buy more covers. But then they're just left with more covers that don't sell. And then they have this one ultra variant cover that they can sell for, you know, more money. But then they have, you know, they only sell 5 copies of Bloodshot number 6. And then they order 100 of them. They've got 95 copies they can't sell. You know, it's I get why it happens, but it's one of my pet peeves about variants being limited that way. You know, I don't know. It pisses me off sometimes.
I'm not a big fan of variant covers.
Yeah, we, you know, back in our early episodes from Spoiler Country, we did an episode on variant covers, and like, ultimately I came down to, I'm okay with variant covers if they are like a convention variant. Like, if you go to like San Diego Comic-Con and you get the Batman 50 Comic-Con variant, because, you know, that's cool because you were there. It's something you can take from the show, where you like, there's an open buy variant, like there's a regular cover, then they do like a themed cover like DC does sometimes, they do like the Bombshell themes, but it wasn't like a 1 in 10, it was the store could either order the regular cover or they could order the variant cover, and it would be like, you know, no incentive. It's just, you could just order either cover you want to do. That's cool. Or like certain like charity covers and stuff like that. That's fine. But the incentive covers where it forces the store to buy a certain number of issues just to get that one cover. It's like, come on. Like right now, Valiant is doing a Bloodshot Rising Spirits number one glass cover. So the cover's glass, with printed on glass. And the comic book stores have to order 250 copies of the regular issue to get one glass cover.
Jesus.
And it's like, I mean, I'm sure the glass cover looks cool and whatever, but 250 copies just to buy one of those. That means by default, that comic is going to be worth a lot of money because it's going to be hard to get. Not a lot of comic book stores aren't going to buy 250 copies of Bloodshot at a, you know, I think $1.50 or $2 a piece to resell it $4, you know? That's a lot of money just to get one cover, and then it's going to sell. They'll be able to sell it for like $200, but that's not going to recoup their cost at all. No,
that's insane.
So there's that, that. There's my variant cover tirade for your show. Sorry.
No, you're good, man. It's the, we don't. I guess here in the network, if you want to get technical, that we don't talk about comic books very often. So it's interesting to get this little aspect.
Yeah. Well, it's ego super nerdy when I'm on the show, man.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
That's right. Up next after Valiant was IDW. They're doing a Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse tie-in book. With Miles Morales and Peter Parker and all that kind of stuff, which is cool because I'm a huge fan of Into the Spider-Verse. I'm super excited for that movie coming out.
Oh, yeah, it looks so good.
The cartoon's going to be awesome. Yeah. They're doing a Vader's Castle series for Star Wars, which is kind of cool. It's going to be 5 issues, and it's going to be 1 through 5, but each issue is a self-contained story that's told from a different character within Vader's Castle.
Oh.
So it's kind of cool how they're doing that. Yeah, I like that idea.
Tales of Mustafar.
Right. And then they're doing, if you like Turtles, they're doing a Shredder issue talking about Shredder. Because right now in the Turtles universe, Shredder's in hell. And so it's going to be an issue talking about Shredder being in hell and how he gets out, or if he gets out, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah, what's really interesting is they're doing a Batman Max crossover with Sam Keith, the creator of the Max from the 90s. And the Max is the guy with the no lower jaw, the big teeth, and like the middle finger claw, which I always thought was super cool as a kid. And Sam Keith drawing Batman is just awesome because Sam Keith draws a kick-ass Batman. So that's actually one I might pick up when it comes out because I love Sam Keith on Batman.
Right. Yeah, I saw those images. They look very strange.
Yeah, I mean, it's very stylistic, but I like it.
Absolutely.
IDW is also doing some Dick Tracy work. They're doing Star Wars and Star Wars versus Transformers, which will be interesting.
What the fuck they're is doing, that?
It's like animated versions too, so it kind of looks crappy because it's done off like the 60s animated version of Star Trek, but I don't know. Whatever. We'll see how it works out. They're doing art books based upon The Abyss, and they're doing a Jim Lee DC Legends art book, which should be cool. And then one of the things that I get excited about is Dark, or IDW does these big artifact edition books. They're big. When I say they're big, I mean they're like the size of a coffee table, right? They're huge. And they're reprinting the Bernie Wrightson one. And Bernie Wrightson was the creator of Swamp Thing and does some amazing freaking horror artwork, and they're redoing the version, that one, because it sold out quick. And I actually might pick that up because that's a book that I would love to have sit on my coffee table to go to look at and just look through his artwork.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then they're doing a Batman animated series game, and then they're doing some Tales from the Crypt reprints, which is interesting if you like that kind of stuff. But after IDW is Marvel, and I gotta say, Marvel is the most boring presenter ever when it comes to this shit, but they have some interesting stuff. So I think it's because Marvel's so corporate now with Disney behind him. Like, everything is like, we are Marvel, we are by the book, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But, Danny Coates was there, and he's kind of an interesting guy. He's got purple or pink hair, and he's kind of energetic and stuff. And then the editor-in-chief was there talking about stuff, but I don't know. Marvel's a very confusing company in the comics for me to follow sometimes, so we'll see how this goes. But they announced that they've got new creative teams on like Avengers, Spider-Man, and Captain America, kind of going into new storylines. They're saying they're all jump on points for everybody, so that'll be interesting. They talked about the Inhumans, how they killed the dog character. I can't remember his name, yeah, they killed Lockjaw in the comics. There you go. But I'm like, does anybody read Inhumans? I don't know. What was cool, though, is they talked about bringing back Marvel Knights. Marvel Knights was a cool project they did like 10, 15 years ago with Daredevil, Punisher, Blade, Black Panther, where it was like the adult version of Marvel characters. They were like grittier, darker. It was kind of like the Netflix shows for those characters in comic form. So they're bringing back Marvel Knights, which is cool. And that's going to be awesome because the Daredevil and Punisher stuff Marvel Knights was freaking awesome.
Yeah. Looks interesting.
And then they're doing a bunch of Venom stuff, a bunch of Venom crossovers and Venom doing a Venom annual now. And like they're pushing Venom really hard at Marvel Comics for some reason. And I wonder why. Like, is it because of the movie or is there something else going on? You know?
I mean, I don't know. I would say it's because of the movie, but
the movie's at Sony and it's not in the MCU.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a whole other podcast.
All right, I know. They did more Spider-Man stuff, more like there's a whole Spider-Verse thing, like Typhoid Fever, where with Typhoid Mary in it, and a bunch of different Spider-Men and Iron Fist and Spider-Girls, which, and there's so much Spider-Man stuff. And there's Spider-Force, which is like seven different Spider-Men teaming up into it. I was like, what the hell? I don't quite follow that. And then, of course, Spider-Gwen is back with more stuff because it's Spider-Gwen. But Marvel did have one really awesome thing to announce that I'm super excited to talk about. And that is that after freaking years and years and years, Neil Gaiman is finally able to finish up Miracle Man. So if you don't know anything about Miracle Man, Miracle Man was a comic published by Eclipse back in the 80s and 90s. It was originally written by Alan Moore and then taken over by Neil Gaiman in like issue 18, I think it was. And it got put into copyright, like fucking hell, limbo, because Todd McFarlane bought the rights to it in some way but didn't quite buy all of the rights. So Neil Gaiman had to sue him, got stuck in litigation in courts for years and years and years, and then nobody could publish it. And then they wanted to finish the story out, but nobody knew where the rights quite were, and the rights were like all over the place, and they had to sue McFarlane again, and all this kind of shit went through. But Marvel now has Miracle Man, and Neil Gaiman is going to be able to finish out the Miracle Man storyline and maybe do new stuff with Miracle Man coming with it now at Marvel.
That's interesting. Heck yeah,
it is. Yeah, if you look up Miracle Man lawsuit, you'll read a bunch of really, really interesting stuff.
Sounds like it. I've never even heard of Miracle Man. So
it was a British superhero, obviously, Alan Moore and Neil Gaiman are both British. It was very British. It's very cool. It's a very interesting storyline or stories, and I'm excited to finally have him come through and kind of go to the end with this one. Because Miracle Man's had a huge following, and huge cult following for the last like 30 years, and everybody's been waiting for this to happen for a long time, and now it's finally happening.
That's really cool. What a time to be alive.
Right. And the last thing they talked about was Conan the Barbarian's now back at Marvel, which is cool because Conan was at Marvel for so long, but it kind of fucks over some cool storylines from Dark Horse because they were doing Conan and Wonder Woman at Dark Horse, and now that kind of just acts that because Conan's back at Marvel now. So.
Well. We live in a world of new things, cool things, and a lot of fucking retcons.
Right. Next up was Boom Studios, which they're cool. They're a cool company. They do a bunch of. They're all licensing, all cartoon licensing, pretty much. Like Rick, I think they do Rick and Morty, and they do Adventure Time and shit like that. But their presentation was very sales driven. So I'm not. I mean, I don't really. I'm not. There's nothing really to talk about, right? They just talked about like, we're your best publisher. We give you this. We give you this thing. We're your best retailer. Your retailer's friend, stuff like that. So, I mean, it was cool, but like, it was very much driven to, you should order more of our books because we're your friend, type of thing, you know. But if you like Power Rangers, they publish Power Rangers stuff. They publish a bunch of like, what is it? They do a bunch of cartoon tie-ins. Like Adventure Times, like I said, they're doing. One thing they're doing interesting is they're bringing Joss Whedon back to Firefly. So they're doing a new Firefly series written by Joss Whedon, which would be kind of cool for like Firefly.
Oh yeah. I heard about this.
Yeah. And they're doing like a Clone Wars tie-in stuff too. So it's gonna be. I mean, they did some cool stuff, but their presentation was very sales-driven. And it was also the last one of the night, so it's kind of checked out.
Yeah,
because after 2.5 hours of sitting in a room with people talking to you about their books, it's like, I need a break. But yeah, so that was 3-hour lunch. Lots of comic stuff to go over. Lots of nerdy stuff. Lots of cool announcements. Lots of cool books I got in to read afterwards.
Very interesting.
It is.
A lot of comic book stuff, man. It's cool though. I don't often get this side of Comic-Con whenever it comes out.
Yeah, man, that's Comic-Con for you, because it's, I mean, it started about comic books and it migrated to pop culture.
Yeah.
So that's the meat and potatoes, the heart of what Comic-Con started at, was right there, those comics, those publishers.
Right.
I mean, it's definitely moved into something else now.
Right, but, absolutely.
Yeah.
Which I guess is, you know, it's the perfect segue to get into the real nitty gritty of what everybody is excited about for So lady nerds and boy nerds, this concludes the part one of John and I's San Diego Comic-Con discussion. You can find part two Probably right next to this episode. This was episode 7. Part 2 will be episode 8, and we will be discussing the Aquaman trailer, the Shazam trailer, and everything else that Comic-Con had to offer that we didn't get to in this episode. But I stand by this episode because we talked a lot about actual comic books. We wouldn't have any of these properties without actual comic books. Remember that. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Stay tuned for part 2 and hear our thoughts on all these awesome trailers and everything else that came out of Comic-Con. Thanks.